indicating that the killer had a knowledge of human anatomy.
The Black Dahlia was a celebrity who was mutilated and found drained of blood with a haunted-like smile carved on her face.
Soon after posting the photo, investigators believe the girls were approached by a man who then went on to kill them. I'm your host, Rihanna Miller, and you're listening to Mystery Mondays. Listener discretion is advised. This episode on Mystery Mondays, we will be talking about the murder of Denise Haraway. This is the part two of our two-part series of the wrongfully convicted cases in Oklahoma. Let's get into the case and the details of it. In the evening of April 28, 1984, store clerk Donna Denise Haraway went missing from McCanley's gas station in Ada, Oklahoma. A lit cigarette, an open beer can, and her purse were found by patrons who entered the store. The Ada Police, the Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation, and the FBI were called to investigate the case. As part of the investigation, two composite sketches were created using descriptions from customers at McCanley's and a store clerk at a nearby gas station. Witnesses say they told police they saw a man and a woman exit McCanley's and enter a gray and red pickup truck. One composite sketch led to over 20 calls saying the sketch resembled Tommy Ward. Based on the tips, the police questioned Tommy once in May. Months later, in October, Tommy was questioned again. This time, while he was being questioned, the police asked him to use his imagination as if he committed the crime. He was again released, only to be picked up and questioned by police days later. They were in this interrogation for 9 hours, unrecorded. Tommy told police that he had nothing to do with Miss Haraway's disappearance, but that he had dreamt about it. Tommy said there were two men in his dream, Carl Fontenot and Odell Tisworth, and the dream involved the abduction, rape, and murder of Miss Haraway. After describing his dream, police asked Tommy to describe the dream again while they videotaped it. Tommy described the dream. He was at a cake party, then he was sitting in a pickup truck with two other men and a girl, out by the power plant near Ada where he grew up. One of the two men tried to kiss the girl, she refused, and Tommy told the man to leave her alone. Then Tommy said he wanted to go home. "You're already home," one of the men said to Tommy. Tommy looked through the window, and he was suddenly at home. Just before he woke up, he was standing at a sink, trying to wash black liquid off of his hands. The girl was not identified, neither were the two men.
"You're giving this statement of your own free will. Did she beg y'all not to hurt her?"
"She was hollering for help and telling us to stop. I thought it was just a dream.
There's a lot of speculation that during this 9 hours of unrecorded interrogation, the police told Tommy exactly what to say when describing his dream, to exactly say what the police wanted to hear, to prove that he had done something even though he hasn't. It was so that the police could get on tape exactly what they wanted to hear to try someone for this case. Continuing on, the next day, Carl Fontenot was arrested. After initially denying involvement, Carl Fontenot too made a videotaped statement about a dream in which he had implicated both Tommy and Odell Tisworth. In his confession, he said he stabbed Haraway multiple times. Although, when her body was later found post-conviction, it showed she was never stabbed. We'll get more into this later, but she was actually shot once in the head. According to Tommy and Carl's dreams, Tisworth was the one whose car was used in Miss Haraway's abduction. Tisworth was located by police and denied his involvement. Tisworth was not charged according to authorities because 2 days before Mrs. Haraway's disappearance, he sustained a broken arm that would have made it physically impossible to have committed the crime. And because Carl Fontenot could not pick him out of a lineup, Tisworth was by no means the only part of their dream confession to be unsupported by the facts.
"She goes, Tommy, I didn't think you'd ever do anything like this."
"Once the confession tapes were played, these people were guilty.
If it wasn't true, you wouldn't say it.
He had the knife in his hand like this, and he was stabbed."
To note, the extensive searches of the area described in the dream did not lead to the finding of Miss Haraway's remains or any other evidence of the crime. In fact, The burned out abandoned farm structure they said that they burnt in their dreams to dispose the body was actually burned years earlier. Without a body or physical evidence linking them to the crime in 1985, Tommy and co-defendant Carl Fontenot were tried and sentenced to death for the robbery, abduction, and murder of Donna Denise Haraway. The state's principal evidence was the pair of interlocking dream confessions by Tommy and Fontenot. Other than facts about the crimes, police already knew before they interrogated Tommy, no material facts from this confession could be verified, with a single exception that the state argued was an anchor tying Tommy to the crimes. That exception, according to the state, was that the dream confession accurately described the unrecovered blouse Miss Haraway supposedly wore that day she disappeared. Because their joint trial violated the U.S. Constitution, the Oklahoma Court of Criminal Appeals overturned the convictions of Tommy and Fontenot and ordered them to be tried separately. Before Tommy's retrial, Mrs. Haraway's body was found. The discoverer revealed that every detail of Tommy's confession, not previously known by police, was either anomalous or uncorroborated, meaning that every single thing that Tommy had confessed to that the police didn't already know was all wrong and did not line up with the crime scene. Some of the things that we can tell you that were wrong in his confession that did not line up with the crime scene was first the location of Miss Haraway's body. Her body was found more than 20 miles away from where Tommy stated they placed it. Second, Tommy claimed Mrs. Haraway died from multiple stab wounds. In fact, she had died from a single gunshot wound to the head. Third, Tommy purportedly described Mrs. Haraway's blouse as a blouse with blue flowers on it, but a different shirt roughly matching reports to Miss Haraway's clothing on the day she disappeared, along with the color-coordinated earrings, was found near her body. At his retrial, the state insisted that Tommy's confession was corroborated because a blouse like the one described by Tommy was missing from Mrs. Haraway's belongings. At closing, the state argued the description of the blouse was tied to this defendant like an anchor to a boat, even though the blouse was never found. Tommy said the blouse was blue with flowers, but the blouse that was found at the crime scene was later revealed to be a blouse that had red on it, nothing like the one Tommy had described in his confession. Most of Carl Fontenot's case was based on eyewitness testimony that was later recanted. Prosecutors claimed Haraway was raped, stabbed, burned, and beaten. Although, when the medical examiner did the autopsy on Haraway's body, she had died from a single gunshot wound to the head. They also found that investigators ignored many of the leads in this case in alternate theories and suspects.
As I was covering the preliminary hearing, I'm watching a videotape of Tommy Ward. He said that he was at a party, and all of a sudden, the light bulb went off, and I thought, that's a party I was at.
Stacy told prosecutors, but says they didn't listen.
And I kind of sat there dumbfounded for a moment, and then I thought, there's something wrong here.
Tommy was again convicted, but this time sentenced to life in prison. Years later, the Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation was ordered by the Oklahoma Court of Criminal Appeals to produce their file on both Tommy and his co-defendant. The file contained over 860 pages that included vital information that was never provided to the defendants, evidence of other suspects, impeachment evidence, and the evidence that investigators likely contaminated the dream confessions with facts they knew about the victim before Tommy and Carl were interviewed. The evidence of other suspects included one suspect who resembled one of the two composite sketches in the Haraway case. This suspect had a history of violence towards women, had two women's driver's licenses from Ada, was arrested for the rape in Texas days after Mrs. Haraway's disappearance, and they were driving a blood-stained car with the suspect's name followed by "Loves Donna" written on the rear window. It had a red and white plaid flannel shirt in his car, consistent with descriptions police received of the shirt Mrs. Haraway may have been wearing, and became extremely emotional when presented with Mrs. Haraway's photos and details of her disappearance. The file also reveals that the description of the blouse, the anchor accordingly tied around Tommy's neck, was likely known by police prior to the interrogation of Tommy and Carl.
I believe that these are completely coerced.
Something was really rotten at the core of this case.
Blood sample is never obtained. Fingerprints are never obtained.
What are the police trying to cover up, and who's going to get to the bottom of this?
So both these men are still in prison for crimes that they did not commit, because every single thing that they have stated in their dream confessions have been proven wrong when they found the crime scene and what Mrs. Haraway was wearing. Every single thing that they have said has been proven false, yet nothing has been able to help them get exonerated. They have currently been spending a little more than 22 years in a prison for a crime they did not commit. Cousin of Tommy Ward is actually writing blog posts claiming the innocence of their cousin because he is innocent, and I'm strongly going to say that that's the case, because there's no way for either of them to have committed a murder when what their confessions were had nothing to do with what the crime scene was.
All audio clips were taken from the trailer from The Innocent Man on Netflix, and then the other audio clip is from a newscast from the Daily Mail. This has been an episode of Mystery Mondays on 91.3 WHJE.
In small towns like Ada, the prosecutors and the police were under enormous pressure to solve two sensational murders.
Debbie Carter and Denise Haraway.
We just don't expect the police to play dirty. It's all about winning. And along the way, if the truth gets blurred,
there was no evidence of stab wounds,
or twisted,
everything about their confession has been proven wrong.
That's too bad.
I believe the men who are in jail are not the men who did it.
They're replacements for the real people.
This is going to happen again. Don't think otherwise.